Okay. Okay, one of these are for something.
This is yours.
That's mine?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for being here. I am so glad to see people in church. And for everyone joining online, I'm so glad that you're joining.
Go ahead, Pastor. Put it on.
Okay, I got it on.
Amen.
Okay.
God is good.
We ready? Okay. Elohim Tov?
Kol Hazman. Elohim Tov.
Hallelujah. God is good all the time. How many of you guys know that Satan has been on his job a lot longer than you've been saved? Uh-huh. Okay. So he already has a lot more experience than you do in spiritual warfare. Okay?
Yep.
So, for people who think they can do life without the body of Christ, people who think they can do life without fully emerging their self in Christ, you're fooling yourself. I've always said it, and every time I say it, Sensational goes, no. I wish people could go visit Hades just for a day. You know what I mean? I think it would change just a lot of attitudes. You know what I mean? I think people would come back, they'd be more sophisticated. They'd be, I'm only about the Lord, sorry. But because we have it, we can't see what's going on. We don't know what's going on. And the only thing we have is the words of God that are written on these papers that tell you what happens after this life.
Amen.
Okay? What happens to people who fall away from Christ? Because I know that there are a lot of people that really believe, like, if I knew Christ and I fall away, Christ will just remember that I used to be with him, right? And then it'll be all good eventually. And Satan could even convince you of that, that, you know, oh, don't worry. God remembers that you did follow him at one time. And then you begin to believe that and to think, well, you know, I'm okay. And I'm just trying to tell you that Satan has been at this job for a little over 6,000 years, okay? Mm-hmm. And he has a lot of experience fooling people.
Yep.
And he knows scripture. He knows scripture so well. This is why I don't trust some preachers, Pastor Dan. He knows scripture so well, he knows how to just twist it a little bit. Not so bad where you know it's a lie, but that just add a little bit in there that it'll, you know. And so if you're not on your job and you're not putting on the full armor of God, and if you're not, you know, the word of God and prayer and your faithfulness to him, all of these things are your battleground because you're fighting for your life. Okay.
Yes.
And I can't express that hard enough. You are fighting for your life.
Yes.
And I don't mean your physical life. You are fighting for the eternity, mm-hmm. because you are not a body. You are a spiritual being living inside of a body, yes. with a soul, okay?
Amen.
And that spiritual being and that soul has to keep living even when that body is gone. You understand that?
Yes.
So we have to make sure that we are doing the very best we can to be at war each day and to let the Holy Spirit guide us each day. A lot of people falling away from Christ, and I'm praying that in this short time that we have left, that repentance will be made.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to lose a few friends to get that done. So
yes.
My next week or so is going to be either gaining some friends back or losing some friends. But I'm calling them all. With the question, what in the heck are you doing? you trying to go to hell? That's gonna be the topic of my conversation, guided by the Holy Spirit, of course. But really, I want to know, what are you? Are you just trying to die or what? The title of today's message is, where is Abigail? What's today's title, Abigail? The warnings you have rejected, okay? And I really want people to know that God has not, when God returns, when the Lord shows up in the cloud and calls us up, there is nobody that's going to be able to say, I didn't know. You might have been tricked to ignore the evidence, but you will never be able to say, I didn't know. Because it's right there in front of us. And God has given the world a lot of warnings. I don't know if Pastor Ben remembers this, but I don't know if it was a vision or a dream because it's been so long ago. Remember I had this vision that this lady, she sat down on the metro?
Yes, and the guy was loading the gun.
Yeah, and she's sitting there doing all kinds of little things. It was a dream. She's sitting there doing all kinds of little things, and I'm like just watching her, you know, and this guy gets on the metro and sits down right in front of her, but he's talking to himself. He's like, and she looks up at him, and then she goes back to work. And then he looks at her, and he goes, are you scared? And she looked at him, and then she just went back to doing what she was doing. Then she looked up again, and he was reaching in a bag, and he showed her a gun. And she just looked kind of scared, and then he put it back, and then she went back to doing what she was doing. And I'm like, why is this lady still there? Yep. Then he pulls the gun out again the last time, and he starts putting bullets in it. And she looked up, and she went, oh, and then she went back to doing what she was doing. Yep. And then he went, ah, and she looked up at him, and he was pointing a gun at her, and he shot her. And then I woke up, and the Lord, I was like, Lord, what was that? He says, when do you think she should have ran? At what point in that moment, from the beginning, right? I agree. But look at all the warnings she had until the bullet came out. And that was this dream that, thank you for remembering it too, Pastor Ben, because that was the dream that I had, that God wants to show me that people don't take warnings. If they're so busy with their lives, all kinds of stuff can go on around them, and they will completely ignore everything that has happened. 9/11 was a warning to the world. You know why? Because God showed the world the whole thing was a hoax. It was a lie. Look what really happened.
Right.
So everybody's like, oh my goodness, the Arabs didn't do that? You mean our president had something to do with that? Everybody should have been like, okay, there's more evil going on in the world than we thought. Then when 2017 came, and then all the stuff got revealed about what's going on with pedophilia and people going to prison for pedophilia and underground, rescuing kids up from underground, and all this stuff was going on. We don't think that it was really going, but it was really going on. People were going to prison. Remember, Epstein had been doing what he was doing for a long time, yep, until 2017. And then all of a sudden, they're trying to pull all of this evil out and get rid of all of this evil, right? And so all of this evil has been going on around us, and we know now, okay? Me and Pastor Ben were shocked. We find out Sammy Davis Jr. was a Satanist. We're shocked. What is the woman talking about? Yeah, I was a slave to this system, and Bob Hope was my handler. And we're like, what kind of evil is going on in the world? But it is, God is trying to show the world, look, there is way more evil going on while you're watching TV than you think.
Right.
Okay? And I'm trying to save people out of it by telling them to submerge themselves in Christ.
Yes.
Okay? I don't mean Lehasok betorah. The word lehasok means to submerge yourself. It's like the word soaked in water, right? Immerge yourself in Christ. Don't just let this be a frivolous little hobby. Immerge yourself in Christ. You understand?
Yes.
And so God is like, I'm trying to warn the world, but he says right now we're at a time where people are ignoring all kinds of warnings. The whole world ignored 2020. You saw the whole world shut down. Me and Drea watching TV, and they were showing Vegas, like, at a time where, and the streets were empty. Now, if that didn't look like Outer Limits, crazy, you know what I mean? We're watching, and all of the streets are empty. The lights are, I don't even know if the lights were on, but it was like, it was just, Vegas streets were empty. There were no cars driving up and down the street. There was nothing going on. And we're like, who in the world has the power to shut down Vegas? The NBA, the NFL, every store. What global power is setting forth this punishment? But we knew. The 120th year, there'll be a worldwide judgment. The Bible told us in the 120th year, there'll be a worldwide judgment. That happened, and then it kind of went, it's, now it's kind of going away, and people are thinking, see, it's over. Even though, listen to this, you guys, and I'll put the numbers up on the board on Wednesday night. The year that World War I started, all the numbers measure out to 68. And World War I was started on the 9th of Av. That means God knew it was starting on that day. But the numerical value was 68. When World War II started, the numerical values of the date it started was 68. The numerical value of the war that just started in Ukraine is 68. That means it's a world war. Rather you think so right now or not. You understand? Because every world war started out, it didn't seem like a world war.
Right.
You understand? So God knows that this is a world war. All three of them, the beginning dates have numerical values of 68. So I looked up 68 in the Hebrew, and it means to repent and return, shuv. So it seems like every time that there was a world war, God is telling Israel, you need to repent and return to me. Or his people, you need to repent and return to me. What you're seeing is not a regular war. It's a world war, okay? And so what is going on in the world? We need to wake up and realize what our glorious hope and calling is. It is not planted in this world. It is planted in eternity. We'll be back for this, but we got to leave first. You understand?
Yeah.
So I want us to know this other thing that God has shown us. The apostles came to Jesus Christ and says, when will the end be? Okay. And when will all these things happen? And when will the end be? And Jesus did not look at them and go, that's none of your business. No one knows the day or the hour. Did he say that? He started giving them detail of everything that's going to happen up until the day you see me coming back on the cloud. He even mentions the fig tree and tells you when the last generation is going to be. So if God don't want us to know when he's coming back, all Jesus had to do was like, that's none of your business. Get back to doing what you're supposed to do, right? But that's not what he said. Emerson sent me something that the apostles asked him, are you about to reestablish the kingdom of Israel? Because they were under Roman rule. And he said, it's not your time to know the day and time that God is going to reestablish Israel. That was, he says, but your job will be to preach the gospel throughout the whole world. So for the Jews, for the apostles, he said, don't be concerned about reestablishing Israel, because they were following him because they thought he was about to be king and reestablish Israel. And if you listen to the conversation When Christ meets them on the road, they were all sad. And Christ walks up on the side of them and say, hey, how you guys doing? And they say, oh, everything's horrible. And there's like, well, what happened? He says, haven't you heard about what happened to Christ and how he was crucified? And we thought that he was going to reestablish the nation of Israel and take us from under Roman rule. So their whole idea was that they were about to get Jerusalem back from under Roman rule. God said to the apostles, this is not your business. But when he asked the end times and the apostles asked him, he said, oh, let me break it down to you.
Right.
Started telling about World War I, World War II. He started telling about what's going to happen in the middle. When I come back, I'm going to be on a cloud. The fig tree is going to happen. That'll start the last generation. And he's giving them all these details. Why? Because he wants us to know the times and seasons, okay?
Yeah.
So, God has done an incredible thing this year in showing us something that he did not have to show us, okay? I want to educate you guys on some numbers that you probably already know, but need to be reminded of. What does the number 888 stand for? Thank you. Now, when that number shows up, you immediately like, okay, Jesus is involved in it. What is going on, right? Okay, what about the number 153? What does it stand for?
Number of fish.
The fish, but look, it's the sons of God. So it's not just the fish, it's the church. Because it's the sons of God, those people who have been born again, that are going to be brought, okay, are going to be brought to Jesus while Jesus has already prepared a meal for you, right? So 153 is not just fish. It's the sons of God. It's the church. If I turn it backwards, 153 backwards is 351, and that's the numerical value in Greek for ecclesia, which is the church. So God is telling you that the 153 are all the churches that are going to be gathered and brought to Christ. So if you see 888 and you see 153, you now know this is about Christ and his church.
Yes.
Now, what if you see the number 71? See, you guys, good students. That's the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament is going to be Yonah or Jonah. Remember Jonah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's going to be Jonah. Okay. And that word, Yonah, means dove, okay? When they're on the ark and they release the dove, we went through that last year. I was like, this is going to happen this week, and then that's going to happen. And it happened. I was like, Lord, you were right, okay? So the dove is representing the Holy Spirit. So when you get to the New Testament, it's not 71, it's 710, but it gives you the
fullness
of what the Holy Spirit is all about, okay? So I want to show you something that God did for us. You guys up here?
Yes, sir.
Okay, look at this board. I feel like Dr. Poindexter. Okay. Yeah. On this board, you have the first four books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, number. The numerical value of those four books is 153. Also in the book of Numbers is what? We have a physical picture of the cross in Numbers chapter 2,
yes.
Right? And 4 stands for who?
Door.
The door. And who's the door to our salvation? Jesus. So God uses these first four books to let you know that it's going to be about the cross and the door opening, and it's about the church, the 153. If you don't know about the 153, John chapter 21. So he puts 153 in this Torah. Now, this is the first five books that are written. We have Deuteronomy here, 959, but if you do minus 888, you get the Holy Spirit, 71. Okay? So that's kind of like, okay, this is getting strange. So then you say, I'm going to do the whole numerical value for all four books, and minus it from this year, 5782, okay? From this year. When I minus it, it's 888. But what if I use another year? It won't be 888.
Right.
So that means something's happening this year, right? So this is what I'm trying to tell you. It's like, no matter how much you warn them, if they want to sin, they're going to sin. So it don't matter. Just show it to them.
Right.
Okay?
Amen.
So here it is. You got minus this, which equals the church. So you got the church and Jesus involved in these first four books. You minus this from this year. This is 2021. I wanted you to know this. This started September of last year. This is 2021. Okay? Now watch this. Okay, so now we have that. Now we say, let's add all of the books together, all five books, which it comes out to this number. Thank you, Pastor Ben. And so let's minus from that, from this right here, this year, from all five books, we're minusing 5780, 82, right? Okay, is that correct? I want to make sure. Okay, yeah. Nope. Oh, it is, yeah. And it comes out to 71. So, now I get the Holy Spirit again, but only if I put in this year. If I measure all five books and I subtract just this year, if I use any other year, it doesn't give me the Holy Spirit. So here's something. Now, here's the incredible thing. People had done this study before, but it meant nothing. You know why? Because one verse was missing. What do you think the verse says?
Pandemic.
After the pandemic. So God is like, I'm not going to give them this until the latter days, until the very end. Then I'm going to reveal it to them. There's one verse missing. Put it in, and then you'll unlock the key, and everything will fall into place. So the one verse that was missing that's in the Torah says after the pandemic. Okay? So God knows something about that there was going to be an after pandemic in 5782. So that means God already knew about the pandemic that was coming in 2020. And then all of these things. Now listen to this. I'm studying, and I look at the word logos in Greek, okay, which means the word of God, right? Jesus Christ is the logos. Then I look at the word virgin in Greek, which is for Mary, and she was a virgin, right? Then I said, well, let me add both of them together, and what does it add up to? 888. So how's the word and the virgin equal 888? Who's doing this? You understand? So I'm just trying to let you know, God wrote the Bible. History has been determined by the Bible. He's given us all kinds of warnings and everything to let you know what day and hour you're living in. He's shown you things that they've done in the world that are absolutely evil to let you know the evil is beyond your comprehension.
Right.
Amen.
You don't know how bad these people get. And as a pastor, I can't even sit here and tell you because nobody wants to hear it. I'm not going to take your joy talking about what they're doing.
Right.
But let me tell you, they're way more evil than you think. Okay? And so all of this is happening, and God is saying, but you hold on to Christ because the victory over all of this, don't worry, I've overcome the world.
Yes.
The victory is in Christ. And so now let me get started on this Bible study. I did a pastor being. First of all, I want you to know, or the Lord wants you to know this morning, because he really did give me this. He said, you know, Jonah really means the dove. And the dove really represents the Holy Spirit. So what is the Holy Spirit here also warning the people that there's a coming judgment?
Yeah.
How long did Jonah tell them that they had before they get jacked up? Huh? No, he told them 40 days and you're going to get it. Yeah. He didn't even preach. It was no Jesus love in that message.
Nope.
No. He walked in there and said, 40 days, y'all getting it. And he walked off. Somehow, all of the people in Nineveh said, "Did you hear that?" And they all repented. He didn't sing no songs. He didn't do nothing. He didn't take up offering. He didn't do nothing. Just walked in and said, 40 days, y'all getting it. Thus saith the Lord. And walked off. And sat on the mountain waiting for them, waiting for them. Like, I can't wait to, when the fire comes down, I'm just going to start. I got my pom-poms.
Yeah.
He like,
Yep.
And the people repented, but it was 40 days. Now look, how long were the people of Israel in the wilderness? 40 years. Did they all make it out of the wilderness? No, they did not. Because within that 40 years, some of them remained obedient to God, and some of them fell off. You understand? So in that 40-year time, a lot of people never did make it out of the wilderness because they tempted God inside of the wilderness. They tempted God to see if they could, how much sin they could do to make God angry or to see if he'll do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing all that, a lot of them didn't make it out.
Amen.
Now, Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, what is 40 jubilees? 50 years is a jubilee. 40 times 50 is what? 2,000. So here you are. It's a little bit over the 40 jubilees. And so in this period before the next jubilee, everybody has already gone through the 2,000 years.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Some people accepted Christ and didn't stay in Christ. Some people accepted Christ and stayed in Christ, and they'll make it. But the 40 years, judgment. After 40 jubilees, judgment is coming. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying, just like Jonah said.
Wow.
After 40 jubilees, judgment is coming.
Yeah.
Some people repented and stayed. Some people did not repent. Some people repented, started, and then fell off on the journey, okay? Because Satan has been at his job a lot longer than you. So you think you can do 3-4 weeks with no Jesus and you won't get weak? Then obviously you don't understand what it means to starve something.
Mm-hmm.
And if you starve your spirit like that, your spirit will get weak.
Yeah.
And stupid stuff will start sounding intelligent.
Amen. Amen.
It really will.
Amen.
Okay. So now, so the word, the number 71 not only means dove, it also means fullness, the fullness of joy. That's what it means. It means dove, the fullness of joy and praise. Hallelujah. Okay, and praise. So somehow the fullness of the Holy Spirit and Jonah's warning and the fullness of praise is going to come to its fullness, okay? When you do 7:10, which is the fullness, because you got to times it by 10, you get the Holy Spirit, the fullness of joy, and the candlesticks.
The church.
Isn't that crazy? So 71 is saying that 71, the fullness of 71 is the seven candlesticks. Okay? So let's read some scripture. Let's go to... First of all, let's go to Psalms, verse 16. Chapter 16. Psalms, chapter 16, verse 11. Ooh-wee. Are you there? It says, "You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasure at your right hand." You hear that? So this scripture is that word joy, that 71 that's put in the middle of this, is talking about the fullness of joy that is coming when? When you're in the presence of God. You will see the fullness of joy in the presence of God. Let's go to John, the Gospel of John. Chapter 3, verse 29. And I'm sorry, we're going to start at verse 26, okay? Listen, it said, they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, that man who you who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, well, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him. It says, to this, John replied, a man can receive only what is given him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said I am not the Christ, but I am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. Who's the bridegroom? Jesus. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him, and the full joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. The joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater, and I must become less. So John is letting you know the fullness of joy is to hear the voice of the bridegroom. Okay? That's the 71 that God decided to put in your numerical value of the first five books of Torah. Because he wants you to know this is all about the fullness of your joy.
Yes.
He wants you to know that this is about something that is going to be fulfilled. God doesn't have to make the dove 71 and make the Holy Spirit 710 unless he's trying to show you something.
Yes.
Okay.
Amen.
I'm listening. Let's go to 1 Peter. Go to 1 Peter. And we are going to be in verse 3. Can we be friends, you guys? Because I want to read this like we just friends hanging out.
Amen.
And we not, you know, I'm not Pastor Sandy. I'm just your friend. Because if you take it from your friend, then they won't take it as hard. Yeah, oh, he's that pastor. Nope, we just friends. Here we go. Chapter 1, verse 3, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed. Ha-ha! I'm saying that because I know something. Remember I said I know something you guys don't know?
Mm-hmm.
What does this number mean? The reveal. That means to be revealed. Listen, that's the number that God put in Psalms 117 and Psalms 119 to have the same number to tell you when the reveal is going to happen. Okay? So he's not trying to let you know there's going to be a come a time where there's going to be a revealing. And what is the revealing about? A window, a door open for the Gentiles. This is 2294. So he's trying to express to you, look, I've already planned this. I know when the door is going to be open. I know when the revealing is. What does a revelation mean? What is apocalypse? A revelation, the book of Revelation. What does it mean? To reveal. So listen, apocalypse means the reveal. That's that Greek term that they give it, right? But revelation, it just means it's about to be revealed. So God is telling you, here's the year of your revealing, okay? This is the year that the revealing happens, and I put it in the Torah so you can see and know and understand what's about to happen to the world, okay? So that you know and understand you're a part of something bigger than you. It's not something you can walk away from and get a boyfriend and forget about Jesus. This is not that, okay? This is not Buddhism. This is not Catholicism. Amen. This is something that you soak yourself into and you plant your feet because you know you're at a war and the war is for your soul. So you want all the joy and all the blessings you can get from God by soaking yourself in Christ.
Amen.
Let's continue reading. We're at 7. Oh, okay. It says, these have come so that your faith of greater worth. No, I didn't finish there. You guys are not helping me. Verse 6. Okay. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be reproved or may be proved genuine. So God's like, you're living in this life, you're going to get some trials, but the trials are to make sure that your gold has been refined.
Yes.
It says, because your faith. And please don't give me, I believe in God. That's not your faith. Your faith is your faithfulness. This is emunah. This is a Hebrew text. Pistos is Greek. Yeah, I believe you there, but if I'm not loyal to you, then I don't really have faith in you. You understand? That means I'm like a demon. Demons believe there's a God, tremble. They ain't going to heaven, I tell you that, because they believe he's up there. But this is talking about the Hebrew emunah. You are not only going to believe, but you're going to be faithful. That means you're going to make your decision making faithful to the one you say you're in love with.
Yes.
Okay?
Amen.
That should be simple, because we all know how we would like our mate or somebody we're in a relationship to act when we're not around.
Amen.
And if they're not faithful and you know, you don't like, look, we can't be together no more. You're unfaithful. Well, God watches everything you do.
Yes, he does.
So he's watching to see if you're faithful, and there's going to be some trials, but you can work through them if you remain faithful to God and believe that he can bring you through it.
Yes.
Okay? And he will do it.
Amen.
Our God is awesome. Here we go. It says here, of greater worth than gold, maybe the result in prayer. Oh, okay, here it is. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perish even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed.
Amen.
Keeps giving you the same number.
Amen.
The reveal is coming. Okay? Now it says, though you have not seen him, you love him.
Yes.
And even though you do not see him, now you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Concerning the nation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you so intently with great care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the suffering of Christ and the glory that would follow. It was revealed to him, to them, and they were not serving themselves but you, when they spoke of things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look unto these things. So all of this stuff we're hanging on to, and angels are even trying to, it says like they long to know some of the things that we know. Angels are like, what is going on? These people are going through an experience with God and a relationship with God about this day of revealing. When is it coming? Keep an eye on them. They're trying to search it out. Angels are watching. They long to know the things that we know. So all of this is going on in the world, and you get the word once again in there. There's a time of revealing, but then you got in the last verse I read, it says, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, but it's the word 71 or 710, because he's talking about the revealing. Now we're in the New Testament. So now you're going to see the revealing of the real dove, which is the Holy Spirit, who's trying to bring you to the day of the true revealing of Christ. Yeah. Because I want to tell you, and I guarantee it, I wish you could bet on it, billions of dollars I would bet. You will see a rapture in this world, okay? And you will see the church leave this world, whether you believe in it or not. Amen. There will be a rapture, whether you believe it or not. Do I know the day and the hour? No. Am I looking into the things to find out what the Bible is showing us? Yes. Am I going to keep it to myself because I'm afraid that you might call me a name? No. I'm going to tell you so that you're ready to go. You understand?
Yeah.
Praise God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. When you get there, say amen. I'm going to say it too as soon as I'm there. Amen. I'm here. All right. Now, here was another word. Here was another phrase in the Greek, and it says, we're baptized. And I was like, what is that all about? We're baptized is 7:10. How is that linked to the Holy Spirit? Okay? But we do know when you see the dove, Christ being baptized, and the dove descended, right? And he says, when you see the dove descending upon him, he says, that is the Christ. That is the Messiah, okay? So we do know that. But listen to this, what the Holy Spirit showed me this morning. It says chapter 10, verse 1, 1 Corinthians, hope you're there. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brother, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they were all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And I'm like, what is that talking about? But now I realize, remember God told Moses to make two silver trumpets. Okay? And when it's time for you to raise up the camp and leave, I will tell you when to blow the trumpet. So God was waiting for Moses, but the cloud was following them. You understand? This cloud was following them, and protecting them. It said it watched over them in the front and in the rear, and the cloud was following them everywhere they went. And so now, as they're going through it, they want you to know that these people not only were saved through the water by dividing the water, but they were saved through the cloud because God was following and watching over them for the whole journey. Okay? Now, let's continue. Okay, it says they all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. And that rock was Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ was in the wilderness with Moses? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Jesus Christ is the cloud that's supplying food for them and following them and protecting them because Jesus is God. And he's watching over them. And when they crossed through the water, it says he's the one that divided the water so that they could cross through. You understand? Jesus Christ is not a New Testament idea. Jesus Christ is God from the beginning. You understand? When he came and he was born, he received the name Yeshua because Yeshua means he will save. So he's going to die on the cross so he can save you because there is a spiritual war going on for earth and for the people of earth. And the only way that you could be redeemed was that someone had to pay your penalty. Now, I don't know the rules in the spiritual realm, but I know one thing. All sin has to be paid for by blood. And since we don't know what's going on in that realm, all we know is that if someone didn't die with blood worthy enough for us to be excused from our sins, that we were all going to be a mess and done with. But Jesus came and died on the cross for your sins, shedded his blood so that all the sin that you have committed in your life can be washed clean and you can never be brought up again.
Amen.
But in doing that, you have to follow him, okay? Because receiving a gift doesn't mean that no one's going to try to steal it.
Amen.
Let's continue reading.
Amen.
Okay, it says, and that rock, it says, was Christ. Nevertheless, in verse 5, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. So everybody that came out of Egypt didn't make it. It says God was not pleased with many of them. It said most of them. Some of them says many of them, God was not pleased. Let's see what happened. It says, now these things occurred as an example to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality or as some of them did, and in one day, 23,000 of them died. For fornication? Television has taught us that fornication is not really that bad. Yet 23,000 people dropped dead. So we have to understand, no matter how Satan is trying to make sin seem not that big of a deal, and walking away from God is not that big a deal, God is still trying to bring you to the revealed date,
yeah,
to the day that he comes, so that you can be a part of what he has for you, so that you can save your soul.
Yes.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
It says, we should not test the Lord, as some of them did, and were killed by the snake. Remember, they were testing God, and then God sent these snakes to bite them, and they were all dying. And then God said, oh, take the snake and put it up on the pole, and everybody that looks at the snake will be healed. Looks to the snake will be healed. Well, that was the cross paying the price. So they put the snake on the cross. So anybody who looked who gazed upon it were cleansed from their sins, because the snake was going to destroy the work. I mean, the cross was going to destroy the works of the snake.
Yeah.
So he said, tell everybody who's been bitten by the snake, go and stand in front where the snake is wrapped around the cross. And when you see that, gaze upon it and trust in it, and you'll be healed. And everybody who did it, the poison went away from, but most of them died. So I'm just telling you, the story of the cross is in the Old Testament. The story of your redemption was already being hashed out for you. Let's continue. Should not continue. Okay, verse 9. We should not test the Lord, as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. Do you know it's a sin to grumble?
Yeah.
Always complain.
Always.
Got me in a Toyota. You know, sister so-and-so got a BMW. You know what I mean? Just complain about everything. You know what I mean? In a house with food. Eating burgers again. What about thank you?
Okay. Okay.
I remember parents, I don't know if it was parents from Israel, they was complaining about dishes. And I was like, man, I would have loved to have some dirty dishes when I grew up, because some days there wasn't no dirty dishes, and there wasn't no food. And I was like, you be sitting around all day for a dirty dish, but we didn't have nothing to put on them. So I said, don't you ever complain about dirty dishes. That is a blessing.
Yeah.
But you see, you can grumble about everything.
Everything.
If you don't learn to be thankful, you can find something to be unthankful about. Okay? It's a horrible day. Yeah, you walking around. I know some people can't walk today.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Just grumbling. Yeah. Just everything's a... God said he's not going to tolerate it. He don't want to be... You don't want to be around people grumbling.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Or pray, or lift your hands and praise God for what you have. That's what he's saying. Okay. Here, let me finish up. Where am I at? Da-da-da-da-da. You guys helping me? Y'all not helping me. I'm in verse 10. Thank you very much. And it says, and do not grumble, as some of them did and were killed by destroying angel. By the destroying angel. It says, these things happened to them as an example and were written down as a warning for us, on whom the fulfillment of the age has come. So now the fulfillment of the age has come, but remember what went on in the past. So you remember all those things happened as a warning to us to hold on to our salvation and to do the right thing.
Yeah.
So if you think, verse 12, you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Because once you're saved, you're always saved. Isn't that crazy? You got that scripture in the Bible. I'd have to take it out for that doctrine to be true, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. But that's what Satan does. Just add a little something in there. It says, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. And he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand under it. You understand? So things come in this world. Trials, tests. But don't ever think God is like, you know what? Sin's not that bad anymore. I've changed. Ane Yahweh Lo Shaniti. That means that's a numerical value of a scripture in the Old Testament. It means I am God, I don't change. And you know what the numerical value of it is? 888. Okay, so Jesus is telling you, I am God and I don't change. So whatever they're telling you, well, you know, homosexuality is not really, people have evolved. Hell hasn't evolved. Hell has not evolved. It's still hot, right? So forget about that. But if you think that God has changed, and now God is letting you know, we're trying to get you to the day of the revealing.
Yes.
Amen. We're trying to get you to that day in the book of Revelation where the 2220. All right?
Yes.
We're talking about Psalms 121. We're talking about when you hear the real voice.
Yes.
We're talking about getting to that day. When you hear that voice and you're called up, that's the day you're fighting for. Because it's going to happen. If you don't think it's going to happen, tell me, how did my God already predict that Israel was going to go to Germany in Genesis chapter 10? How did God predict that Hitler was going to come to Germany in the book of Esther? And exactly what year and what month the trial was going to take place to kill seven henchmen. If the Bible doesn't know what's going to happen before, tell me how God was able to know that they're going to try to make the economy cashless, and the numerical value on that cash would be 060606. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's not correct. It's not 666. It's 06. Don't be dumb. You know what I mean? Take off the zero. And it will be, and it's just what God said it was going to be. You understand?
5 minutes back.
So I'm trying to tell you, God is giving the world plenty of warning. He's shown the world. When I say something, you can bet it's going to happen.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
And I said this. Here, let's go to, I can go to my scripture now. God said, leave it there because I want you to go there. Go to John chapter 14. I'm going to read. Listen, this is an incredible. This is Jesus talking. All of this is in red. Watch this. It says, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many. I'm going to use the. It says, in the Greek, it says manners. You live in the manor. You know the manor? You ever watch that where the butler comes, opens the door, and you're at the manor? It means the same as like a mansion, but the butler comes and you're like, welcome to the manor. And then you go and wait in the lobby, welcome to the manor. It's a big place, right? Because somebody tried to say, it only means rooms.
Yeah, I heard that.
Nah, you don't get no room. This is how Jesus says, in my Father's house are many manors, many mansions, okay? If it wasn't so, I would have told you. That's what Jesus is saying, okay? He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and perilambano, which means take you, okay, as a friend and companion, okay? Two will be in one place. One will be taken and the other one left. One will be perilambano, taken as a friend and a companion of God, and the other one left.
Yeah.
So, Jesus is using the same wording here to let you know, my Father has many mansions in his home. I'm coming back and I'm going to take you to be with me there. Okay?
Yes. Amen.
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and perilambano, take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going.
Yes.
Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? There is no other way to get to this day. Now, look, I'm just going to, I could start from 9/11, but you can't. 9/11 was not the beginning of warnings.
No.
The beginning of warnings is to really look at your Bible and say, has God really fulfilled all the prophecies that are in this Bible? And you will find out 100% he has. Okay. So if God has fulfilled all of these prophecies in the Bible, and he's saying, oh, there's another one coming that has to do with the church, that you're going to hear a great trumpet and a great voice, and you're going to be called out of here. Who are you to ignore that and to say it's not going to happen? Yes. When I've already proven that I watch over my word. That's what Jeremiah, what, 11:11 or 11 says, that he says, I'm watching over my word to make sure it is accomplished.
Yes.
And so let me ask you this. If Jesus doesn't come back, first of all, he went to prepare a place for you. If he didn't prepare the place and he don't come back and rapture you and it says and take you there, because remember, in this sentence, he's saying, I'm coming back to perlambano you so that you can be where I'm at.
Amen.
So that means you're going somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amen.
And you're going where he is. So now if this doesn't happen, that means that this scripture was either written by somebody who wasn't Jesus. So we need to take it out of the Bible, or Jesus didn't say it. And I don't even want to say the other possibility because it's impossible for him to lie. So this is why I said, I would bet you dollars and donuts that the rapture is going to happen.
Amen. Amen.
And I would bet you even more that if you think you could test God and live in sin and still hear the trumpet and you're going to be all right, because fornication is not fornication anymore and love is love.
Well,
you believe the lie.
We'll
you have believed the lie, and that lie can cost you your life.
Yes.
That's why we're in our word. That's why we're praying. That's why we're trying to be soaked in Christ. That's why we want to be close to him. You understand?
Yes.
Because this is about your eternity. Okay? We're going to have to really... I'm going to lose some friends this week. I'm letting you guys know. Because, I mean, I don't think we have long enough for me to go, well, I just pray and hope that they, you know, get it together.
Yeah.
I don't think I have long enough to do that. You know? So I'm going to have to, like, you know, what are you doing? Are you trying to go to hell? Are you trying to lose your salvation?
Yeah.
Pastor, why are you talking to me like that? I'm trying to save your soul. What are you doing? Your last post was disgusting. I don't know. I'm trying to keep Jesus in it too. You know? I don't want to be too mean. But I mean, something's got to wake you up.
Amen.
God, I don't want you to lose your life.
Right.
So that's what I'm gonna do this week. I'm gonna keep it real. So y'all hear anything like I'm not friends with Pastor Sandy anymore.
You know what happened?
He didn't approach me in love. Well, too bad. Well, praise God. Thank you guys for coming today. I want you to know the board that's behind me, the numbers are set for this year.
Amen.
And the crowning ceremony is before Nisan 14. So plan appropriately. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Plan appropriately, Pastor.
Hey.